And this was discussed in United States Congress. This was discussed in Congress. It said that there's some countries in Grenada, St. Kitts, Antigua, all of them that engage in this. The only one not engaging is St. Vincent. Ralph Gonzalez has decided to stay out of it. The minimum price for a passport was $150,000.
It is not the price for a passport, your terminology.
That's why,
but...
Let me finish. You don't have to agree with it. $150,000 for a child, a passport for a child. Mm-hmm. As high as $1.5 million a passport for people depending on their wealth. That's why
states can be higher.
But I don't know anything about it, but that's what I saw.
In other words, they have to spend that amount of money to get a passport for their families.
Yeah, and they can get your passport even without landing in the country. And what I saw, this year coming from the Caribbean itself, mm-hmm. is that between Dominica made $80 million 1 year out of that. And I think it was Grenada or St. Kitts made $110 million. So it's a big business down there. We have not been able, or we have not decided to go that way because I really don't like it. I think it's going to...
There are some implications, yes.
Because those people are not going to put out money and come into your country and remain mute when it comes to certain things.
Okay.
And I do fear, and we have to say, I stand with Barbados, that we must not prostitute our sovereignty, our language, our mortgage, the heritage of our people, mm-hmm. just to get money.
I fully agree with you. I'm not suggesting that is the way forward. I want to stop you, though. I have the president of the Barbados Economic Society, who I've reached out to, Mr. Shane Law, to just shed some light on where we are as an economy. I didn't use the term duck's guts, but it would be good to hear from Mr. Shane Law a little bit on, not necessarily a response to you, sir, but just to bring some context on such a discussion. Mr. Shane Law, this is Dr. Brass Sacks.
Hi, thanks, Lisa. Good morning. So just listening to the caller, he made some interesting points about the decline in the reserves that we've experienced since 2012. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of, as you can imagine, reserves fall because there's a shortage of the foreign exchange inflows are less than the outflows, mm-hmm. than you're having to pay out. And if we look at, let's say, the period between 2013, which is when the reserves really started to fall, mm-hmm. and 2017, so last year, the number of positives and negatives that affected the flow of in the reserves. So, for example, mm-hmm. in terms of the earnings from foreign exchange, we earned about $189 million more in foreign exchange from tourism than we did in 2013. We've also saved almost $300 million in what we call intermediate imports. So that is primarily oil and some other things like construction materials. And a lot of that is because oil prices are significantly lower mm-hmm. now than mm-hmm. they were then. So we've saved some money on that end. Mm-hmm. The other retained imports, so your consumer goods, your capital goods, buying things from the supermarket, et cetera, mm-hmm. those are actually now $104 million.
Yes.
And a lot of that is because, of course, you have higher taxes, and some of those taxes are imposed directly on those imports, the National Social Responsibility Levy being a good example.
Okay.
So while there has been some... So the deterioration in reserves is not because tourism isn't doing better or isn't because we're importing less. Mm-hmm. What's really happened, there are two major factors. The first, mm-hmm. A significant decline in what we call net long-term public inflows. And all that really is that instead of attracting more capital, instead of attracting more borrowing on the government side, the government is now a net repayer of debt. Mm. So whereas in 2013, we were able to borrow a substantial amount from Credit Suisse and had other inflows, mm-hmm. in 2017, we actually repaid a substantial amount of debt without being able to replace it.
And the reason for the borrowing or not borrowing is because we just can't afford it at the rates attractive.
Exactly. The rates we'd have to pay are going to be quite high, and that is linked directly to the credit rating,
yes.
which has declined in line with a rising debt level and a fiscal deficit that's still quite large.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I would call to clarify a bit in terms of the reasons why the reserves are falling. It's not necessarily that we're importing a lot more mm-hmm. or tourism isn't doing well. It's really a financial problem, not a trading goods and services problem.
Thanks, Shane. But then there's also, we have to run to the regional roundup shortly. Just one other thing. the loan that we had in the $288 million for the prison, why is that figure now deemed as $700 million? Can you clarify that?
Well, I can't speak to why someone would say $700 million. I suspect what it is that the $288.6 million is the principal on the loan. So that's the value that you borrowed. Mm-hmm. But over the, I think it's about 30 years or so that the loan's life is, mm-hmm. a very long period of time. I think it ends in 2032, so a little less than 30. But over the period of time for the loan, you have to repay the principal, but you also have to pay interest.
Okay.
So if you're having to pay principal and interest, the total amount that you will repay over time will be around $700 million.
Which is like any other mortgage, isn't it?
Exactly. But when you consider the time value of money, mm-hmm. meaning that a dollar today is worth more than a dollar 20 years from now or mm-hmm. 15 years from now, mm-hmm. it wouldn't quite be accurate to say that it costs $700 million because
right.
the value that you're paying back in 2032 mm-hmm. is a lot less than the value that it would pay back today.
Okay. I think that would, I hope that helps the gentleman who called prior. Thank you so much. We are going to go to the regional roundup. And if anything, Shana, you want to hold on, we can also buzz you back after. This is Downtown Brass Tacks. Downtown Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
I'm scared. Hold on.
Morning, sir. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Downtown Brass Tacks, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, Ms. Gill.
Ooh. Downtown Brass Tacks?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
And no, so I think that Patrick was trying to get in, but I don't know what happened. Like, I heard his voice. It sounded like him anyway.
Something happened
anyway,
there. If he's been cut off, call back in, sir. Really sorry about that.
Okay. You mentioned Russia and the Russian elections today.
Yes, you're following?
But that's a fact. That's a very pretty term. You know that. as a matter of fact,
there's nothing wrong with being hopeful.
if you really track them from even years ago, mm-hmm. even, we don't always hear everything, but sometimes you hear a bit, and even some of their own people mm-hmm. have said that the Russian politicians are bare candlestick.
Whoa.
What they meant, the word candlestick was defined. It means the always up in the Russian Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the Russian Orthodox Church said last year mm-hmm. that they're fighting a crusade in Syria. I have all that recorded. Because mm-hmm. I already said something one time that, and the head of the Russian Orthodox Church actually showed that the moderator was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
But the people say that they can't say. But I thought you'd be more interested in what's going on in England with the poisoning.
Listen, there's a lot to talk about. We were speaking specifically about elections.
I know, but I thought maybe I'm more interested in that because, you know, it happened in 2006 already.
Right, so talk to me about it.
Right. And I
got scolded just now for asking one of the previous callers if he is seriously asking me about wheelchairs and wheelchair parking, handicap parking. So given that I opened the floor and said that this, you know, anybody can call and talk about whatever they feel like talking about, I shouldn't be asking him that. And I fully understand what that person meant. And
you still with me?
I'm still very much with you. You can hear me well?
Right. Yeah, I can hear you. Now, how also, like I said, it also happened in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I said something on other radio stations, but these fellas don't take nothing serious. The former Russian agent that was poisoned in 2006, that Pachenko, I think his name was, he wrote a book in his lifetime. Did he die eventually?
He's the one that died about 4 days after?
From plutonium-210, yes.
Okay.
But the thing is that they almost did not discover it, but a technician who recognized the signature of plutonium-210 when he ran a computer analysis,
mm-hmm.
the other scientist didn't recognize it, but one particular scientist recognized the signature, has a signature.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when he saw it on the scope.
This was the nerve gas that you're talking about?
He wrote a book.
Was this the nerve gas? I'm not hearing you know. Was this the nerve gas?
No, it's plutonium-210.
Plutonium-210, okay.
Right. Well, that's what he bought. But anyway, the most important thing is that he wrote a book in his lifetime called, the name of the book is called Blowing Up Russia.
Whoa.
In which he said that Putin had the security services blow up a building in Russia
mm-hmm.
to blame it on what Putin turned around called terrorists in Chechnya. But it was actually Putin who actually ordered the blowing up of the building to blame it from people in Chechnya calling them terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
Now, That's not unusual. Mr. Glasenhold already wrote something in his article about what certain procedures that the Russians go through. And when he hit the Reichstag fire, that's really what it was, because Hitler actually burned on the Reichstag himself. And when he said it, he said, when he saw the bill, he said, success, success. Mr. Glasenhold, I spoke to Mr. Glasenhold. Mr. Glasenhold told me he saw the document where Hitler actually burned the Reichstag. But even before that, this particular farmer, double agent that got poisoned now, he was part of a spy trade in 2010. That was the same time which I gave information to both races, especially so to VOB. The Rockefellers, what's going on with Trump is nothing new, because the Rockefellers actually, this was on the BBC, but it came on the BBC after I gave it to the radio station. The Rockefellers had a piano repairman who was known to be a Russian agent. But they can never figure out what he was really up to, but they knew he was an agent. But he used to be with them as their piano repairman. The whole information that I actually gave, which can be actually seen on the net, all you have to do is to remember this. Prop Masters, P-R-O-P, Masters, Judaic Communism, the documented records. And you see the whole thing. There are former KGBs, former Russian agents who actually came over to the United States claiming that they were survivors of the Holocaust. They've been there for a long time. So I wasn't surprised when they exchanged the seven Russian agents that they found in America in 2006. Mm-hmm. That's not surprised me. And that's because, like I said, I trace that back to what Mr. Glasenhold said. Mr. Glasenhold was a genius, man. You have a good afternoon.
Okay, thank you. The most recent news, the BBC News talked about the 23 Russian diplomats who the UK is planning to expel. And if you go on CNN, you could also see it there as well. A lot of little discussions going on in relation to the elections. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Not hearing you well.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hello? Hello?
I can hear you. Are you there? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Miss Gail.
Good afternoon.
You believe that I know call?
And got through immediately?
You must be like me or something.
Probably, you know.
No, I just call you and I get it. Just that's what surprised me, that I get it so quick.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, yes, I have a little thing here and I get a lot of licks over it. I won't call it.
You called me earlier?
No, the first time.
Okay.
I get a lot of licks over it because I can't get it to understand, you see. And when I don't understand something, I keep going after it till I actually get a clear picture of the situation. Now, I call many times concerning this prison deal.
Prison deal? What prison deal? Talk to me.
How much the prison really costs. And I was doing it now for, this is about 2 years. And I give you one reason that I got. Every time I hear something else, it carry off. Now, just now I hear Mr. Lowe, who I like to hear, and he gave me an idea now what I would say is the cost. Because he told me, he didn't tell me what a year, but we know what every January we got to pay, which is $30 million. Mm-hmm. But he told me the debt is still 2032.
He's right, yes, he did give us that figure.
Which would say to me, because we start paying it in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Which is less than the 30 year he was mentioning.
Yeah, he told me the loan went to 2032. Mm-hmm. So if we were paying this loan from 2008, 2009, mm-hmm. the prison got cost $1 billion. I went to school at the University of King Street in Richmond Gap.
Oh, Lord.
So if you really think, if you work out what he's saying and what we're paying per year, and we have to pay for, say, 24, 25 years, between 23, I got to be in there. Let's say between 23 to 25 years, we have to pay this $30 million. It can't be $700 million either.
Which is why the figure seven, I was merely asking him to define, because a previous caller had mentioned.
I say that to say this. And I keep saying it. Now, you don't have to think about me because everybody know that I'm a Democrat. So people could talk what they... People who link to any organization, there's the bias towards that organization. Cricket, football, anything
most
that you
people.
Believe in or you're a member of.
Human behavior.
A little, and sometimes it could be...
Well, I was thinking human behavior, but then you have a child who may go to school at a school and the child hates his school.
Okay.
So that person may not be linked to that.
Okay.
But say what you're saying.
Let me tell you what I mean. Now, we had a government rule in this country for 14 years. And where I am concerned, we're living in America at the time. I think we had a very, very good 4 to 5 years under that leadership. And at that time, between Queens and Brooklyn, there had so many Democrats that we used to call owing them. All the years it was them, but they were owing them. But all of us believed Owen was doing a fantastic job. I am of the opinion that from 1999 is where the problem started. Whenever you go back to discuss anything that happened before, people tell you they ain't going back. They don't want to hear. They don't want to do this. Now, how can you have a group of people who is around the corner willing to take over a shop that they was running before and collapse or run the shop bad? How can you look at me and say, and I'm going to say, I don't mean you, Miss Gale, don't get me wrong. How can anybody look at me and say, they don't want to hear what happened when they was running the shop? This is a different time. Let's go forward.
Right. So tell me what you're telling me then.
Sorry?
Right. So let's hear what you're saying, because
what I'm saying,
you're setting context, but...
Let me tell you one thing. I heard about a $600 million loan for the rainy day. Okay?
A $600 million. Who borrowed this money?
I don't know. I read that in the paper.
It
happened after 9/11. Is that a problem in America?
Oh, so we are to believe that the $600 million loan that you saw with your eyes, that took place, or you're saying that it didn't take place?
It
didn't take place? Which one?
We should know these things if it is true. I'm not saying that it happened, but I heard of it and I read it in paper. We know about the Barrett National Bank, so we know about the insurance corporation. And I could go on and go on and go on, I can't write down.
Oh, you mean the same shares that were given to Barbadians or were offered to Barbadians and Barbados didn't take, and then Trinidad took up, and then Barbados then decided that they wanted the National Bank? Is that what you mean?
No. What I'm saying is this. If you were controlling the affairs of a government and you made certain decisions,
mm-hmm.
and I'm questioning them now, don't tell me don't go back.
People are entitled to tell you don't go back, but you going back. So clearly you go back. Yes, go back.
What I'm saying is, if you have, I'm going away from business. If you had a bad man or woman, and you step away,
mm-hmm.
if you even got to go back, you got to check the mistakes that person made with you. You just don't get to sort of boom and go back with them. You got to study as well. Should I go back and this happen? Should I go back in the next? You got to discuss within yourself if it makes sense going back to who was there before and the things that they did. Now, for instance, let me go back to Kensington. There were some businesses there with Kensington Bill, Frank B. Armstrong. We don't know how much money Frank B. Armstrong get. We don't know if we still owe Frank B. Armstrong. I'm hearing that the certain portions of land around there, after no taxpayers have finished paying for them yet.
So what are you really saying, though? Yes. Tell me what you're really saying. You said you're a DLP. You said there were a couple loans. You said you saw $600 million.
This is what I'm saying. I am following up on Arthur. Because I hear this tax man who always comes in with stats about the last 10 years. And all of us know what happened. Because everything is out there. The Barbados National, the Hilton is the... is for sale. And we hearing the figure already and the dealing done. We the Four Seasons, we on some, we hearing and they're talking about it and they say, how come that all of these things that was done before this government, we ain't to hear the true prices of how much money my children and grandchildren had to pay for things. But in 2032, we might need another prison.
Whoa.
So we should have an idea of what was done under the last government. And I hear a woman out there, is not a truth picture yet, that the South Coast sewage started at $74 million and ended up at $140 million. That's what I was told. And then I also was told that they had to turn and spend millions again in 2006 when they still sewage. So I would like, that's why I say I came here for, because Arthur is asking the stats matter, always got stats, and is waited on by stats as this professional stats man. Give me some of those figures of these things that I'd be able to balance them. I would say, well, look, that last government did this, this government do this. Which one are they going to choose? That is what I mean. Now, I am choosing because you know who we voted for already. You know, it's them. But I'm talking about the people of Barbados.
So, question.
You're doing a very good job. You're not.
I want to engage you though. So don't compare me with anybody. I'm an individual.
No, but I'm telling you what I'm hearing.
But let me ask
hearing
you.
I am hearing that you're outstanding moderator, and I got to tell you that.
But you know why I'm hearing that I'm an outstanding moderator? Because yeah. I haven't come down on any particular political party and said. Either one is doing foolishness, or either one will do foolishness.
You know who was my number one moderator before I give you that praise?
Wait, so you're telling me that I'm now the number...
for me, because you don't tell people things like, I don't want to hear that foolishness.
Well, I'm going to ask you some questions.
Anything.
You just said that in order to tell whether something is good, you have to compare it to what happened before.
Not always good, I mean.
Or whether something is of any merit. You know, you just need to comment on what took place prior. The current administration for which you say you are a member has run this country for 10 years now, effective March 6th.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you then is, I'm putting you on the political platform. Why should the people of Barbados vote for you if you're saying that you're comparing yourself to the previous administration?
Can I answer in 2 years or only one?
Sure. I'm the moderator for today.
For instance, I'll tell you this. There's no one in Barbados that could say they're satisfied with the way the country is going. In other words, the way the country was administrated, the things that we were laid down and that we're having problems with. Mm-hmm. I also have problems with them. I'm a little worried with the garbage issue, the transport issue, this thing, not the South Coast problem, because that's a ticklish one, but this thing that I hope could have been better. That's not better. But that is why this is the coming back now to why I'm different. I want to find out if because of the 10 years before is what got this government in depression now. So I forget, I dare to match it.
Wait. I asked you a question. Why should the people of Barbados vote for the Democratic Labour Party? You say you are a DLP supporter. Yeah. I'm asking you a simple question. You came, don't go on the defensive and tell me what is not working. Tell me why should people vote for the DLP?
First thing, let me tell you, and I'm putting this blank straight, why I believe, as you asked it, why I believe people should vote, I am scared of the leader of the opposition.
Okay.
And that's my main one. I don't want to hear, I don't deal with nothing else.
Okay.
I am.
So we have fear dictating the decisions of some.
This is what I believe. This is only me. I believe that the leader of the opposition should remain the Prime Minister of St. Michael North East and be invited as a guest to Halal Court. That is my way. I can't tell nobody how to vote, but that is me. I am afraid of her.
Okay. I thank you for your call, sir. I will go on to another call. Remember, we're going until 1 p.m. today. My name is Lisa Gale.
Hello.
This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello. Good day, ma'am. Am I on?
Yes, you are. Can you hear me well?
Yeah, I am hearing you very clear.
Okay.
I want to address, I've heard all the callers prior to now, you know, basically. But I my concern is that there has never, ever, as far as I'm aware, of any discussion on deficit financing. Mm-hmm. And I think deficit financing has been the major problem why Barbados is in the position it is in. A discussion on it is, I think, should be at the level of Parliament. It affects the current account situation. It also affects the foreign exchange situation and long-term economic progress. And these are my studied positions. Huh?
Could you also add confidence and credit rating?
Yeah, but yes. But as you would help me, I thank you so much, Ms. Gill, for helping me along that line. But these were the areas that I sort of I looked at and I studied, but I did not go into that particular area.
Okay.
But the thing is that export foreign exchange is related to export activity. So, you know, and I
import.
Am wondering, hello?
And import hello? Activity too?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But for, and I'm using the EX, foreign exchange and foreign exporting overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the critical issue. And all this foregoing, I am saying that I have heard no one at any time within recent times. I've been agitating for this in various letters to the press and so on. Why have we not heard any discussion at the level of Parliament? Well, you don't expect people to just talk about it on the street,
mm-hmm.
but no discussion on deficit financing, which is a tool for developing countries, and these are serious issues.
It would be good to have, and the Barbados Economic Society has been, you know, discussing. I'm working now with the Barbados, working as a not a, this is a volunteer position, on the board now of the BES, the Barbados Economic Society, and they've been thinking about some topics. So we can probably share that with the group to see what their thoughts are as it relates
right,
to
and
adding
there must
that.
Be a- Yes, and there must be a level of lobbying and so on. Another issue I have is the whole issue of renewable energy.
Okay. You know the
and
time? It is actually now 12.
Hello?
It is 12:27.
Yeah.
We have to run off for the news.
So could I?
So you can either hold on or you could call back in.
Yeah, I could hold on. I'd be holding on
okay.
for a long while.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
hold on. Thank you so much. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Are you still there, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
Dr. Brass Tacks.
Thank you. Yeah. Just repeating. Well, continuing on shortly because you have a lot of callers backing up.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is that the deficit financing affects subsidies, transfers, supplementaries from the withdrawals from the consolidated fund.
Mm-hmm.
To some non-performing boards and statutory corporations.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that experts have said that deficit financing should be restricted to certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
With right... Yeah, you're with me, ma'am.
I'm hearing you. I understand you. I think the only thing I would add, the only thing...
Yes, ma'am. Restricted to growth areas.
Right, but given...
A new approach to the whole governance of what we are saying. I am saying that I have never heard...
People talk about it.
Hello?
You've never heard, you're not hearing me at all, it seems. You're saying that I heard, we had our discussion before, and I asked you to stay on because what you're talking about is something that is pretty interesting, but the only thing I'll say is that I don't think that that's the only issue. You said that it is a very critical issue, and I said, in my view, because we don't have adequate reserves, I think that is a far more critical issue for us at this time. Yes, we have a high deficit, and we need to manage the deficit, but it's the structure of the deficit that is also... that is dependent on it.
But, ma'am, we have been doing deficit financing based on a friend of mine who is an economics professor, mm-hmm. and he's talking every day, and I agree with him, though we have some small areas of disagreement, where you're talking about social services and so on, and we need to have a means testing operational thing where people who are less able should be able to access them, but we don't do it willy-nilly and overall. And I am completely I am sorry that we should be dealing with deficit financing for the social services and not having a means testing mechanism in place.
Okay. Good. Thank you so much. I think as well, even if, because that's like you're going to the shop, you have to buy goods and services. You only have $40, but you have to eat and there are a couple of things to do. And your job is only giving you the $40. You have to be able to pay for the current costs that you're incurring right now, whether it's the repayment of debt and a couple other things. And I think deficit financing, good point, yes, but there are a couple other things that need to come into play. And I did share we're going to talk about it a little bit more at a later date, some of those other topics that the persons within the population are hoping to have a discussion on. So thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Yes. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, thank you, too. It is really wonderful to hear you on the foreground today.
Okay.
And I was just saying to someone that you seem to be getting better every time I hear you. You are improving as a moderator, and that is good.
Thank you.
Thank you, too. I am hoping, ma'am, that when the monthly administration assumes office after the next general election, mm-hmm. that they would consult with the people of Barbados and go to Parliament and set a fixed date for our elections. Mama, I believe that if we in Barbados like to say that we are an enlightened people and we are progressive and we are well-educated, that we need to start treating the people of Barbados as though they are a progressive, enlightened people. Ma'am, I think it is rather unfair for a prime minister using a 90-day extension to be keeping this country in a childish mystery as to when the next election will be called. Ma'am, I think that if the prime minister of this country had any good public relations skills, in which he is sadly lacking, that he should have come to the people of Barbados, knowing, as he said on Sunday evening, to much laughter, that this is history that is being created. He should have come to the people of Barbados and he should have walked them through the entire process. He should have said to them, well, Parliament will be dissolved. He should have said to them, but we will have an election and give them the date, and therefore have the country to look forward to a date when we will go to the polls, instead of this childish game that Barbadians are experiencing by a prime minister for the first time. I have seen other leaders in the Caribbean come out. They have announced the election date. Their parliaments have been dissolved. Grenada has had its election already. And the people are not treated like this.
The only thing I respond to you and say... I hear a lot. I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. Barbados has been in election mode for quite some time. But to be honest, it's 90 days. The law does dictate and permit what the Prime Minister is in his rightful self doing, as in allowing the law to operate. Yes, it was a joke. I heard about what he said on Sunday. But seriously, you started so good in your faith and hope by saying you hope that a Motley administration, and you went on to go on to talk about what, you know, what would obtain and what not obtain. And then now you're spending time on this 90 day. I've heard a lot of people talk about it. I agree with you that there should be a date. But does it really matter if we have elections in March, in April, or in May?
Well, many persons in the country believe it is, because can remember clearly hearing you last week, mm-hmm. And this morning, mm-hmm. you were saying that the situation is dire.
Yes, but no. I mean, for an administration.
Yeah.
Does it really matter if you are confident that the Barbados Labour Party is going to assume office? Does it really matter if we start in January? Sorry, I can even go to January, February, March, April, or May.
My problem, ma'am, is not really the 90-day extension, you know. My problem is this, right? We should have known what the government intended to do.
Right, which is specifically the date. You're talking then about the setting,
yes,
of the date, right?
The government should have said to the people, Parliament will be dissolved. We need an extra 90 days to fix, among other things, the rumblings that have taken place in the St. John constituency. We need time to do that, and they should have given the people of Barbados a date. Okay. I mean, rallying on from week to week, who knows if it will be held on the 5th? A guy wrote you this morning or called you, and he said it would be the 10th. Some people are saying it will be held by the second week in April. I mean, well, this is not good for an enlightened people.
But for a long time, though, I recall, and let's go back to the election in 2013, more so the one in 2008. I remember in 2008 when Mr. Arthur called elections for he allowed for the dissolution of Parliament in December of that year.
Yes.
And we had a good 20-something days battle. And then on the 20th, the DLP came to office. I don't know if you recall that time. And leading up to that year, I remember a lot of discussion, because remember that was the same time as the Barack Obama, the incumbent, that he was not coming in, yes. A whole year of elections. We will watch the CNN, the MSN, the MSNBC, the BBC, and we would be totally intrigued by what was happening with the U.S. elections. Nobody was calling for a date. We were coming near to the end of the time, so to speak. But there wasn't that, I don't know the word for, I mean,
haste to get rid of the government? Shall we say that?
I wouldn't even call it haste, because as you started out by saying, the Motley-led administration, we don't know what's going to happen, you know. We may have our hopes. Some of us may hope for a retention of the existing administration. Some of us may hope for a change. But none of us know the future.
Yeah, I heard you trying to ask the gentleman about two calls back, a guy who calls you and talks to you off about what is the reason why he would elect the Democratic Labour Party to form the next government, and
yes,
he was scrambling all over the place. But I can answer that for you. And I can answer that for you, ma'am, simply.
But I didn't pose that question to you. I posed the question to you about, does it really matter? Because I like to talk to callers about what their substantive issue is.
Okay. Well,
right.
it does matter, because we need to address our foreign exchange situation, and we need to address it as soon as possible.
Well, I can agree with you that our foreign exchange situation is indeed dire and needs to be brought to... And if I were strategizing, if I were the Prime Minister's, the existing administration's strategist, the elections would have been in December of 2017.
So why is that?
Because it would have been allowing for, what was the best way? I would have got all of my people together, meaning all of the candidates, etc., and I would have made sure that all of the decisions are, the major decisions are taken post or prior to both the estimates and all the things that will happen in the following year. let a new administration make those decisions. I probably would have done that. But I would have done that. I am not the strategist, and therefore I can't tell them what to do. But I think we're spending a little too much time on, you know, every couple minutes is when y'all are making the prime minister far more popular than he really is.
Ma'am, you don't use the word popular when it comes to the prime minister.
Well, you call his name every day, so he has to be popular.
Yeah. You don't use the word popular when it comes to the prime minister. The prime minister is within his right, but I believe that he should, and this is the reason why I started off by saying that we need a fixed election date.
Well, that's something that we definitely have to have a conversation on.
Until a member of St. John makes up her mind after making
that wasn't the decision. That wasn't the reason for the decision, though, because I understand St. Joseph isn't sorted out yet. So it can't be because of St. John.
I gone.
Thank you so much, caller. And thank you to all of those callers and those various listeners in Barbados and abroad. We had a wonderful time. We talked about a number of issues. I've heard some of you pontificate on the issues that are of importance to you. We want to thank the head of the BES for calling in and sharing a little bit on what he shared about in terms of how he talked a little bit about the particular debt that the prison at that time and what it was and what it could be in terms of interest adding. And we talked about a lot of things. I thought that it was interesting, and I hope that this day is a blessed day for all of you. My name is Lisa Gale. I enjoyed being with you. I also enjoyed having as my moderator Mr. Dennis Johnson, and we look forward to seeing you. I may very well be with you next week. You will see or hear when that date is. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Have a blessed day.